It's crazy. I can't even believe that we blew through a little over an hour right there. It didn't feel like it. So, but that's what I love about God. He starts talking, and the Spirit starts moving, and it just time flies, right? So, let's see where to leave off. We are talking about verses 9 through 13. I made a note here. I said, if you look at everything that so far that God's doing, and we know this with us, with everything, this is a marvelous law of nature with him, that he's the creator. He's the creator. There's no evolution to it whatsoever. I laugh at people, you know, when we talk about this, is when I was in talk, God put in us a need to worship, and he put in morals. After we understood, after the fall, we know right and wrong. It's evident in all other creatures that doesn't exist in them. This is an example. There's no lion out there going, stop the killing. Because you know what's going to happen to that lion? He's going to be killed. He's going to be eaten. And across the whole spectrum of all of this stuff, we have this conscience. We have this ability to discern. We have this ability to love. We have this ability to care. We have this ability to reach out that no other creature does. And I thank God that us being created in his likeness, in his image, that we're created for his son. We are created for him. We are created for him to fellowship with. He wants us to grow in this. He wants us to be in this fellowship. He it's amazing. He's already built the kingdom. He's just populating it. Who do you want to be in the kingdom? Right? And I don't want to be the one with the palm. I want to be in the midst of that throne. I want to be next to him. I want that crown. I want that love. And I had dreams about the love as a child too. I remember waking up after a dream like that, and there was this euphoria, and it would last till like 11 o'clock in the morning, and then you didn't feel it anymore, and you would just crave it and couldn't wait to feel it again, couldn't wait to experience it again, and praying for another dream just like it. And that's what life, that's going to be this, euphoria doesn't even describe it. It's going to be pure love. And I can't wait. Can't wait for it. We get down to verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Again, God's dividing. Beauty about what's happening now. His sphere of operation right now has changed toward the heavens. Celestial, right? Garnishing it with this incredible beauty. And no one can sit out on a starry night, especially here. Or you get up in the mountains in Pagosa, where I grew up, and it's just dark. And you get in the blanket of stars is incredible. I miss that so much. New Mexico, we don't go. There's remote areas you get that, but not right where I live. I miss that blanket, being able to see the Milky Way pulled through there, being able to see those clouds, being able to get your binoculars and be able to see other galaxies. He hung this stuff there, knew us before he did it, right? The sun and the moon now are presented as the light bearers of the sky. No longer is there darkness. Even in the darkest of times, at night, it's not without light. I think about this all the time. It's one of the things that always amazed me with God and the sunlight. If we took we do this paving in our industry. If we're paving at night, we have these amazing super-powered, they call it sun globes, right? They sit above the equipment, they light up everything amazing. But if you go to look under that piece of equipment, you can't see nothing. If you use, I don't care how strong the lights are, and you shine the lights in through these windows, the whole place is gonna be shadows. But if we turn all these lights off in here, you can see every crevice, every crack, under every chair, in every closet, in every sink, under every counter. Why? It's God's light. Sunlight's different. It illuminates things that aren't in direct sunlight, that aren't in the direct light. If we're working on equipment, that underneath a dozer, looking up underneath the engine and underneath that sign in the daylight, you can see it. But it's obviously obscured from any type of light. But it comes around everything, it bends, it fills, it's the same thing in our life. That light illuminates us, it fills our life, it fills us, it attaches us, it bonds us, it creates a life in us that's illuminated by God. And as we grow, it grows brighter. There's so many saints, this room is full of them, that have grown to a point in Christ, there's light emitting from you. And that's God in you. It's Christ in you. That all of a sudden you're starting to glow. Look at Moses, right? When he came out of the thing, he says, he's glowing. When you fellowship with God, when you're in his presence like that, when you fellowship with Jesus like that, you're going to glow. You can't help it. You're absorbing it, right? He gave us this stuff for the signs and for seasons, for days and for years. And to this day, that calendar is perfect. To this day, everything that happens that God started in motion is still dead on the money. Look at the Mayans built that calendar that was more accurate than our calendar is today. Built it on what? What God did. They didn't need a leap year like we do. They didn't need to adjust. Everything fell into place. God didn't miss a lick in any of this. He had this thing set so perfectly, so incredibly from the beginning, this never changing. It's objective truth in it, right? I wrote this down. Actually, I wrote this down last night. We were talking, and if you take the, even in Revelation, when we see that picture of heaven and we see the lady up there and we see this, we're really, what we're seeing is a whole picture of the whole heavenly body. Think about this. When God put all the stars up there and built the sun and built the moon, what was he recreating? Jesus. He saw Jesus in the portrait. And because this whole, think about the beauty and what he was putting up there, and the whole church body is represented. The whole heavenly body is represented, from the dimmest stars to the brightest stars to the moon to the glory of that sun. If you think about really what he put together and what he painted up there, the beauty that we see in it and the beauty that I see in it today is Jesus. If you look throughout every part of our life, there's ranks built into everything. It's built into the government. It's built into the military. It's built into the trees out here. When we were talking about this, if we think that seed falling out of here doesn't represent a rank in this thing, then we are mistaken, because that seed takes life. And when it starts to grow, pretty soon there's a tree this high and this high. You look at these redwoods that are these massive, incredible trees out there, and majestic and beautiful. We see it in water. We see it in lights. We see it. I can tell you right now, you go look through every one of these little lights out here in this room, there's a brightest one and there's a dimmest one. Everything that God did, particularly with the heavens, to me, he did it with animals, he did it with us, he did it with everything, but particularly in the celestial bodies, it's beauty beyond measure. And I said this before, but understanding, when I used to be so frustrated because I think I wasn't witnessing hard enough or wasn't telling someone the truth enough, and God revealed to me, if it wasn't for those dim stars, there'd be no glory of the sun. There'd be no glory of the moon. There'd be no glory of the brighter stars. and 99% of people look at all that grandeur and all that majesty and all that beauty up there and no clue what they're looking at. You know, I look at even the moon. If you take the moon radiates when we see a full moon. It's really the perfect picture of the church. There's times when it's glorious and full, and there's times when there's no moon whatsoever. There's times it's a sliver. There's times it's crescent. There's times it's waxing. There's times it's giving. It's always different. The church is the same way, ever-changing that way, ever-changing in glory, ever-changing. Look at today. You take the places that have the depth, the truth, it's dwindling, and it's getting smaller and rarer. And thank the Lord, because you know what that means? We're closer. We're closer and we're closer and we're closer. And right now, this depth, this truth, this beauty, and all of this has become so rare that these are the times that we have to embrace with the most love. When we as we go down, we're going to get to verse 20. This is the fifth day. Is that where I'm at? Right down next to that, Jacob. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. We're brought back to the earth, but not to the barren waste that it was, right? He does not call this day's work good, as he did in previous days. We'll get to that, because when we get to the spiritual side of this, we're going to understand what God has favor on and what God doesn't, what God can have favor on and what he doesn't. I wrote down here, the waters now swarm with living objects, full of life. New and greater forms of life are reached. Each successive day that he's doing this, the life becomes to a greater degree, a higher ascension, I guess. And what's concerning him now is the culmination of all this. We're in the fifth day. We got one more day of reconstruction. We'll talk about this tomorrow. These 6 days of reconstruction, it's what's happening in us. Every one of these days is us. He starts out where we're born. He starts out where the only thing that he can find favor of in us is that light. But then we come to that day, we start to witness the resurrection day on this earth as it starts to grow. Now look at what's happening with this here. We see multiple forms coming out. It's the living soul that now concerns him. He wants us to reproduce spiritually, naturally. He wants us to grow. Now he wants us to be useful vessels. He wants us to be able there to teach, to grow, to mentor, to be able to take this, to take now. Now we can take tangible things. I was thinking, because I have a note here when we get down there. We'll start talking about what we see is figurative and the typical types of things that we see, types and shadows, and also the things that stand for things. Ty has that study on numbers. I mean, every number matters that God puts in the Word. Every color matters that God puts in the Word. Every order, every person changes. Everything gives us a different aspect, a different look at Christ, a different look at what he's doing. Everything he's doing on each successive day has to do with a growth. And it becomes greater forms of life as he's going on through. In verse 24, I made this little note too. He's starting to concentrate on the animate over the inanimate object. The living soul, right? He's made the trees. He's made the trees. Everything's bearing fruit. Everything's reproducing, stuff like this. Now he wants the living. So let's talk about the living. The sixth day, right next to that, Joseph. I think it's on the fifth day, right, Jacob, right? Okay. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. This word living creature in Hebrew is nephesh. It means soul, and in the Hebrew, if you look at this, you'll see nephesh as being both human and animal. What it means is a soul, a self-conscious life, sentience. So now he's looking at this living soul. Verse 25 says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Here we go. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which there is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. And to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We might be on this one for the whole next 3 hours. This is the beauty of this. God, this is what I would call their special meeting. Called, let us make man in our image. The three persons of the Godhead confer about this. God is such an amazing, when God sits down and calls us, let us make him in our image. And people argue and people debate about whether the Trinity exists, when Scripture is so plainly evident. And they're in this perfect uniformity, in this perfect alliance, in this perfect will of God at all times. He speaks twice and works twice on this day. The earth brings forth the living soul. God sees it as good. His masterpiece of the 6 days comes forth, man. The culmination, the plan, his purpose, everything that he had planned, this is what this day was about. This is the part that I'll get choked up. Adam, Eve, that whole line from Seth down through there, the incredible things that when we talk about what he wants us to see, that you take the line of Seth, the line of faith, right? Enoch, the perfect, beautiful picture of this bride being taken out. I've done the studies where you put these guys together and you put the dates together and it goes all the way to the flood. And none of them go through judgment except that ark. Carries the Jews through that. It's the picture perfect example of what this church age is. It's a church age right in there. And those people in that line going through there. And then these take, and Noah represents these guys and the Jew going through that tribulation to emerge on the other side of it. Ends up with Methuselah, right? They come out before the judgment. Page after page after page after page, God shows us and shows us and shows us. Takes this right now, made in his image, in his likeness. Being able to discern right and wrong, being able to choose, being able to pick him, be able to how to, he, when he put Eve down there and made it out of him, and that, you talk about a special meeting, where should she come from? He could have just taken her from the dust. Poof, there you go. Perfect, she'll love you. That's what happened with Adam. Perfect, he'll love you. He didn't. From here, within the body, from within his body, he creates a wife. He creates a bride for this. That was an amazing special meeting they had. Love, perfect, beautiful love for his son from nothing more than faith. And put it all here for us to believe in. Put all here for us to uncover. It's easy when you're first starting out, oh, I believe in Jesus. Let me show you something, right? You want to see some depth? You want to see some truth? You want to see what's going to grow you from infantile to fully mature? Here it is. Now you got to start wanting it. Now you got to start desiring it. All the riches, the fullness of God recreated in you from believing, from spending our time in here, from getting to know where that nail mark came from. From getting to know the hairs of his head. Isn't it incredible to think? I mean, we go through this study, as you go and we go back through this and you go read through this, this day is incredible. In our image. I'm made in his image, in his likeness, offered everything that his son has. His son's the one inheriting everything. We can be joint heirs with him. All designed, developed, and planned for before this day. Knowing exactly how things were going to unfold. How do you, and not strategically manipulating everything into place. He took, I mean, this book is two things. There's a thread of redemption from page one to the end. There's a thread of love, huge love, from beginning to the end of this thing. It's Jesus from page one to the end. His kingdom that he's created, he's offering to us. Offering. We choose. What do we get? Free will. Well, that seems like a lot of work to me. Yeah. You know what it is? It's a lot of trust. It's a lot of love. It's a lot of faith. It's all we got to do. I mean, he's the one pulling the cart. He's the one carrying us through it. It's amazing to me that he involved me. I look at all you guys out here, I can see why he involved all of you. But in his mercy and in his grace, right, he called me too. I wrote down here, and this is actually, Mary Bodhi did some just such beautiful studies in Genesis. And Sister Bodhi had all this, and I liked what she said here. First, man is a trinity, even as God, with a difference. Man is three natures, spirit, soul, and will in one body, or person. God is a trinity of persons in one nature. Secondly, man was created male and female, two persons, yet one. And they have the power of reproduction, even as God. He gave them, let me finish with this note real quick. Thirdly, man is made absolute ruler over the earth seen. Everything is given into their hands. All the fruit and green herbs are there for their food. Not one restriction on anything. They are a monarch of all they survey. And think about this now. We're coming up to the seventh day, that rest. And this too, they are in the image of God, who is sovereign over all. Now think about this. Everything he just gave them, everything he just offered them, made this whole place theirs. Everything he's doing right now for this bridal company that he's creating for this is the exact same thing. Everything that he has, everything that his son has, is for them. Monarch over all they survey. They will sit by his side for eternity. They will rule with him for that 1,000 years while God steps away and rests. Think of it. 7 days of creation. We haven't even got to the spiritual part yet. Man, we actually may almost made it to it. God saw it was very good, well pleased. Now he can rest. Imagine this. This is exactly the order, exactly what's going to happen with us. When he sees the end of this, when we come to that point where Christ takes his bride, you know what he's going to be? Well pleased. You know what he's going to do? He's going to hand over the reins and he's going to rest. 6,000 years of him putting this together in man. 6,000 years of him putting this together and creating a discipline in mankind to be ready to take the reins, to be ready to be his son's bride, to be ready to rule, to be ready to reign, to ready to have that crown, to be ready for all this stuff. Is everybody going to choose it? No. Did God know that? Of course he knew that. He didn't expect that. If it could have worked that way, it was participation. He wants love. He wants trust. He wants devotion. He wants us to sit here. He had her right there and said, she will love him. You will love him from faith, from love, from adoration. I look at this and I get chills. Hearing this, seeing this, this day, if you look at this on the sixth day, this is the day they take the throne. This is the day you will be seated next to him. This is the day that throne will be set in heaven. This is the day that he's going to say, go get her. It's amazing to me. And God sets it all in this perfect way for us to see. We're talking 20-some verses in the first part of the Bible. And we'd have to back up, we're going to back up, and start all over to cover it in a spiritual sense. We have to back up again to cover it dispensationally, how it works. And we'd have to back up it again to cover the character sketches that match up to every one of these. We could be here for years, right? We have been here for years doing this. He says in Ephesians 4:24, and I'm going to put the have in there, that you have put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. I'll hit the seventh day real quick, where we're at in time. Oh, we're good. In Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3, it's the seventh day. This is the day of rest. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God rests in delight over his work. Exactly what he planned, exactly what he saw, exactly what he was hoping for happened. It's always going to be that way with God. Every time he puts something forth for it to happen, it's going to happen without fail. He had a man upon the scene now who would rule for him while he rested. Mate, think about that with us, with Jesus. Him sitting there, we on the right hand of God right now, ready to vacate the seat to make room for someone else. To bring so that Jesus takes that throne and puts us right there. How could you, it's not even fathomable how the amount of wisdom, the amount of clarity you would need to put this together. Literally, he could have said, Jesus, son, here she is, She'll love you, will do whatever you say. Always be by your side, never fail you. He's God, he could have done that. But he created and populating a kingdom with loving, living souls that fell in love with him. Fell in love with him and couldn't go another day without him. It's just beautiful and amazing. I think about Paul all the time, about that revelation. Because at first, you know, I really did. I thought Paul must have got this revelation that he was on the Damascus or when he went to the wilderness. I'm going to put you to sleep and I'm going to upload all this into you. Literally, I thought it had to happen that way, right? He had been uploading into Paul his whole life. He looked back and saw these scriptures and saw all this. He saw those first 7 days. Whoa. He saw the life of Abraham. He saw the life of Jacob. I mean, he when we were talking about the places, that the meanings of stuff, Bethel, to the house of God. Imagine how immersed he must have been in the story of Joseph. Because it changed everything. And I look at what Paul must have felt and try to think of what the tears that must have poured from his eyes. Every day, seeing Stephen. Every day, knowing they crucified the Lord. And then understanding the mercy and the grace that it took to say, you're my guy. And you're going to write this, right? Amen. All righty, we'll pick up tomorrow.